I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 146. In the Pew Bible, it's page 545. Psalm 146, as we think this morning from praise to promise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked He brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. I was going to switch up and go to that side today, but I would probably put my foot in one of those bags. The young man watched as the old man was walking down the street. He had heard of this older man from a number of people, and the young man's curiosity had finally gotten the best of him. He had even gone and done some digging into the older one's affairs and discovered that while he had a comfortable income, the old man was by no means well off. As the old man proceeded down the street, a scraggly, bearded, and poorly dressed man suddenly came out of an alley just ahead of him. This man was a head taller than the older man, outweighed him by at least 50 pounds, and was scowling as he faced the old man. As the man approached this ruffian, he raised his hand in what seemed to be a gesture of greeting. The scraggly, bearded man paused for a moment and then continued stepping toward the older gentleman. When they were face to face, the old man reached out his hand and took the other man by the elbow and began to speak to him in low tones. The taller man took a half step back, and a look of surprise came upon his face. But suddenly he lowered his gaze, accepted something that the old man took out of his pocket, and then the two began to walk down the street. Even more puzzled now, the young man followed at a distance until the other two went into a shelter. A short time later, the old man came out and began walking further along on his journey. The young man could wait no longer, so he caught up with the older man and said, "Excuse me, sir, I've been watching you for some time now and followed you for the past half an hour. I've heard stories about you, and I know that you do not have a great deal of money. I saw that rough-looking man come out of the alley and was very surprised that you escaped from what seemed like a bad situation. I know that you talked with him and gave him some money, and then you helped him into that shelter. I just don't understand why." The old man looked him in the eye and said, "You're right. I do not have a lot of money, but God has blessed me with health, a home, family, and friends, more than I certainly would deserve. And Jesus helped people like that young man, helping them to become free from their demons, to open their eyes to God's grace, and lifted them up when they were put down. in life. I praise Him for all He has done for me, and I promised Him a long time ago that I would praise Him with more than just my words. What was just done for the other man is part of my promise to praise. The psalm under consideration today is one of a collection of hallelujah psalms. The Yah on the end of hallelujah is actually short for Yahweh. These psalms are meant to offer praise and glory to God. And there are five of these at the end of the Psalter. Number 146 is the first of those. Here in this particular psalm, the psalmist is reflecting on what his experience of God's goodness has been. And in that reflection, his conclusion is that while men may attempt to seem good and do good things, only God is the true source of hope, and only God is the true source of help. God can guide persons in ways to solve problems within our human race and our human societies. But in order for those options, those possibilities to even have a chance of becoming realities, those persons must also promise to follow and live their praise. Not for the good of themselves, not so that they will have stars in their crown, although sometimes they might need to be crowned and see stars, but so that others may come to know and experience what the psalmist has found, that God is just, that God cares, and that God is forever. As one writer states, and I quote, "Men would see how naturally praise becomes promise. This psalm starts with veneration and swiftly passes to a vow. A God who is worthy of praise is one to whom men must," and I emphasize must here, "a God who is worthy of praise is one to whom men must dedicate themselves with a dedication that lasts for a lifetime." End of quote. The psalmist begins here by saying that he praises God and will praise God for all of his life, for as long as he has being. And yet, as great as the psalmist's experience and understanding may be in causing this praise and promise, and as much as we might look to him and to his experience, we as Christians have an even greater reason to live our lives of praise in promises. In a short time, we will come to this table that is covered to remember God in Christ. And as we remember God in Christ, we are called for more and more commitment. Commitment from us, not for us, but commitment from us because God has been committed for us. The psalmist states, as he praises God with and from his very soul, that praise is an attitude of life that comes from the depths of his being. That's what the soul is, and it is that soul that guides and that makes the inmost decisions. He has an attitude which will last as long as he exists. While immortality, as we as Christians understand it, was not part of his belief or his understanding. His understanding was that he would go to Sheol and exist there forever. But he also understood that even in Sheol, while he had being, he would continue to praise God for all the grace that God gives. Then he goes on to talk about human nature and how we really cannot trust in our own selves, oftentimes cannot trust in those who seek to lead, that no matter how good or how powerful men might seem to be, unfortunately there seems to be a basic inability to provide a sure answer for all human need. We try. And we try in this area. PERC, the Piedmont Ministerial Association, Anderson Interfaith Ministries, Salvation Army, our own food pantry, ministries to Allendale, to prisoners. They all can help and assist people in need, but all of these, even together, cannot alleviate our broken world as God can. While faith in faithful leadership is needed to accomplish much, we need to remember the fallibility of we as human beings. Another scholar writes, "Civilized life demands that we trust one another, but we shall find a broken need if we lean upon our neighbors as we can lean only on God." In other words, when all is said and done, we will die. Our plans will fade. But God and God's plans are forever. And if we are part of that and pass those along and participate in them, they will continue beyond our own lives in those whose lives we touch. As the psalmist sings of the source of salvation, that which brings happiness to the souls of persons, we find that it is the God of Jacob, the God who created the universe, he says, and who has kept faith with his covenant forever. These verses should sound very familiar to us as Christians. This call that is put out there, this remembrance of God. The psalmist speaks of God executing justice for the oppressed, feeding the hungry. He says, "The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous." In fact, God's concern for the hungry, the oppressed, the sojourner, the blind, the widows, the orphans, is what evokes the psalmist's everlasting praise to God. Not His majesty, but the fact that God cares and God reaches into the lives of those who are in need. But remember that we can sing praises to God. We can praise Christian teachings on love and forgiveness. We can even memorize Scripture and at least paraphrase it at the drop of a hat. But until we keep and feel God in our daily thinking and in our daily willing to do, we just might find ourselves farther from the kingdom of God and God's presence than we could imagine. Our praise, like that of the psalmist, must lead to a promise. Promise which is more intense and filled with more vitality than mere words. Promise that is found in the way we live our lives with vitality for God, and not just on our behalf, but on behalf of others in need, on behalf of those who need a kind word, on behalf of those who feel weighed down by the world and are unsure what will come next. Jesus' praise of God continued in His action for us as He sacrificed Himself in so many ways, not just in His death, but in associating with people just like us who sometimes hurt, who are sometimes downtrodden, who are always in need of grace. And guess what? He expects the same from you and me. So as we come to table in a few moments, may our commitment and our promise become more intense, and may God reign within our hearts, minds, and action as we move from praise to promise for as long as we have being. Our hymn of commitment, our closing hymn, is hymn number 358, Because He Lives. Our altar is open for any decision that you might make on behalf of Christ or this church or in any other way. It is also during this time, if you have not brought the food that you might have brought with you this morning, that we will come and place it on one side or the other, so that this might be at least in part a small token of something that we can do as we move from praise to promise. Hymn number 358, Because He Lives.